Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this day. It's a day that you've given to us, a day in which we can worship you together as a community of faith. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would be blessed as we seek to continue to worship you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you'll take out a piece of paper and a pencil, clear your desk today. I'm going to give you a quick quiz. That's what my math professor would say in college to me. Always kind of created a level of anxiety. Will I remember what I need to remember? Well, without looking at the front of your bulletin, what Sunday of Easter is today? And here is your hint. 4 weeks ago, I asked the same question, and the answer was the third Sunday of Easter. So what Sunday is this? Come on, seventh. Say it with gusto. Seventh Sunday of Easter. That's right. So the next question is this. This Sunday has another name associated with it, which is called what? Here's your hint. It has something to do with what happened 40 days after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Say it with conviction. Ascension Sunday. That is right. Ascension Sunday. Now, 40 days after Easter actually occurred this past Thursday, because 40 and 7, it just doesn't work out. But this Sunday is when we celebrate Jesus' ascension back up into heaven. Third question. How many days? How many days passed between the time Jesus was resurrected from the dead or went to, dead until he ascended or until he was taken back up into heaven? No hints this time. Say it with conviction. 40 days. That is right. 40 days. And the last question is for a bonus point. What region of Israel? What region of Israel did Jesus ascend back into heaven? And here's your hint. Jesus told Mary to tell the disciples to go there. Galilee. It is the region of Galilee. Now, I hope you did well. I hope you did well. I will not grade you today. I will not grade you today. After all, it is Mother's Day. Okay? Side note, next week wear red. Next week wear red. It is Pentecost. So now we leave this topic of prayer that we've been talking about for the last 4 or 5 Sundays, in which we looked at the duty of prayer, where you can develop a regular time with God, where it is made easier by having a specific place that you can go to be with God or to meet with God each day, and how to use Scripture to pray. Today begins a short series that I'm going to call The Mystery of God. The Mystery of God. The series looks at these 3 weeks in the life of the church: Ascension, Pentecost, and Trinity Sundays. As a reminder, what color should you wear next week?
Red.
Oh, I like that. Red, because it is Pentecost Sunday, and I'll tell you more about why next week. But the question we want to look at today is, why did Jesus leave? Why did Jesus leave? Now, as 21st century Christians, we look back at this particular time frame where Jesus had died and then been resurrected from the dead. And the question looms in my mind, as well as many Christian minds: if Jesus was brought back from the grave, why did he have to go back to heaven? Why did he have to leave? What was God the Father thinking? Consider with me for a moment. The disciples were down in the dumps as the rabbi, their teacher, the Savior of the world, is killed. This was the one who was teaching them how to truly order their lives, to live their lives, to become more holy, to become like God as God is holy. This was the one who was teaching them how to truly show love to others and to show love to God by being obedient to God. This was the one who was teaching them how to help others to know the truth of Scripture and to love God too. Did I say that before? To love God too? This was the one who was teaching them how to truly love people who were not in the in crowd, the people who were out on the margins of societies, who were out in the margin of society and helping them to move into the kingdom of God so that they could know and love God. And the list goes on. The 11 disciples, when Jesus returned from the dead, still needed to work out some of their doubts, like Thomas. Some still needed to know that they were forgiven, like Peter. And they still needed guidance and direction. You know, after 3 years, they didn't get it all. But if he would have simply stayed and continued to be the leader, to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to cast out demons or evil spirits and other miracles, to show that God was still present with them. Maybe Saul wouldn't have tried to kill and put Christians in prison had Jesus stayed, and instead Saul would have met Jesus and been converted on the spot and still become a great missionary to the world, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe Jesus could have published a number of bestsellers that would have helped convert people and teach people how to live. Not just then, but even today, Jesus would still be alive, residing on the earth. He could be teaching new generations by simulcast or personal appearances. He could go on speaking tours and help people to understand, to know and love God, to live lives pleasing to God, to be in a fabulous relationship with God, to demonstrate his unbelievable power. Think of the peace we could be experiencing, not just as individuals, but as a world. No nuclear races, no national security issues, just people loving God and loving each other. The sale of his books and speaking tour would be more than enough to help the poor. In fact, would we even have poor anymore if Jesus was still here? And I think of the support it would give to the building up of the kingdom of God if Jesus had just stayed. Yet 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus gives the disciples who were with him their final marching orders to be his witnesses, essentially in the region and in all the world. And then he says these words. Read them with me. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight. Now, if it wasn't enough to see Jesus go, they were looking intently, Scripture says, intently up into the sky as he was going, and two guys appear, dressed in white, suddenly stood beside him. Angels, no doubt. And read with me what they said. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So the angels reassure them that Jesus will come back, but Jesus was specific when speaking to his disciples that he did not know when this comeback time would occur. And in regard to his leaving, Jesus says some things to his disciples which indicated that he does need to leave, that he must go. To better understand why Jesus left, I think first we need to look at another question. Why did Jesus come in the first place? What was Jesus' purpose in coming to earth 2,000 years ago to this group of people located in this Middle Eastern land? If there were several compelling reasons for Jesus to come, what would they be? Maybe if we understand why Jesus came, then we can judge as to why Jesus needed to go. Maybe he had completed his tasks while he was on earth. Maybe he had finished his work with the people that he had come down to earth to live with. You see, Jesus did come down to complete a task that God was always working towards since the time of Adam and Eve. Since the time they fell out of relationship with God, and that task was to repair the relationship between humanity and God. But as we see, there is a lot of scripture there that shows that it wasn't an easy task. People wanted to live life on their own terms, and when God provided a set of instructions or rules to help guide them, they continued into their own ways. I don't know about you, but it still seems to me to be the case today. We all want to live life on our own terms. Have it your way. Be all that you can be. The one who wins the most has the most toys. It's not what you do, it's what you accumulate that makes you great. So in completing the task of repairing the relationship between God and humans, Jesus needed to become the perfect sacrifice, the final sacrifice. His body broken on account of our sins, His blood poured out that our sins would be forgiven, His act of love on the cross. Jesus bore all the sins of the world in one moment on that cross. And before He died, He said these words, "It is finished. It is done." And then Scripture says He gave up His spirit. And at that moment, Scripture says that the veil that separated the most holy place where God resided in the temple and the outer temple was torn in two. God now allowing mankind, all people, to come directly to the Father. So first and foremost, Jesus came to earth to die so that you and I might live and have a direct relationship with God, our Father in heaven. Jesus said, "For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world, saving the world from sin and death, and for us to be in a right relationship with God the Father." The second reason Jesus came was to reveal the truth of who God really is. You know, you can talk to anyone around here and ask them, "Who is God?" And you don't have a clue what they might say about who God is to them. And one of the things Jesus came to do was to show everyone who God is. He says in John 17:25, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me." You see, Jesus knows the Father, and He goes on to say these words. Read them with me. "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Do you see it? Do you see it here? God makes Himself known through what? The life of Jesus Christ. The truth of who God is has suddenly been revealed. If you want to know God, then you have to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, you have to know the Word of God. If you want to know God and understand that God has fully revealed Himself through Jesus and the whole Word of God, then you need to be in the Word of God. I was speaking to a person the other day about how they were falling more in love with God. It was a great conversation. And it was no surprise to me that it was directly tied to the fact that they said that they were also falling in love with the Word of God. They couldn't get enough. You see, God reveals Himself through the Word, and specifically through Jesus' words and actions while on earth. And this person, as they were literally eating up the Word of God, they were falling more in love with God. You see how that works? More Word, more love. More knowledge, more love. So Jesus came to make God more plainly known to us, that we would fully know and comprehend the love of God for us. And Jesus did accomplish that task. You see, I think Jesus completed these two main tasks on earth. That was what he came down to do, to reveal God, to give a way for us to get back to God through his sacrifice. The other reason that Jesus needed to go back to the Father were these, and it's not related to his tasks being done. See what Jesus says. "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." You see, Jesus understands that until he leaves, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not be able to come fully to all who believe in God, who all believe in Jesus as their Savior. Jesus goes on to say that all the Spirit will continue to speak in our lives. All that the Spirit will continue to speak in our lives will come from Jesus. That they are one and together as Jesus and the Father are one and together. So when we hear that still small voice, that nudging, that prompting in our heart, in our inner being, it's the Holy Spirit in concert with Jesus speaking God's will for our lives. Which really leads to our final reason Jesus needed to leave. You see, Jesus was one person, only able to be in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit of God will come to all people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit will continue to reveal the truth of God. The Holy Spirit will give us power to resist evil. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he must flee. Through the Holy Spirit, we receive the forgiveness of God, the knowledge that God forgives us when we confess our sins. The Spirit will love on us so that we can love on others. Friends, Jesus came and accomplished all that he intended to come and accomplish, and that he needed to leave to make room for the Holy Spirit to continue this work of God in our lives, helping us to become more holy, to become more like Jesus, to live more like Jesus, to give glory and honor to God. Jesus left us, but he did not leave us alone. So what do you need to walk away with this morning? What do you need to know this morning as you leave worship? One, Jesus did all he meant to do and he accomplished it. He accomplished a way to God in heaven. To reveal God and God's love in a way that we could truly understand it. Then to make room for God's continuing work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus loved us so much that he willingly sacrificed his life that we might have true life. A life with God and a life that will last not just until the grave, but for all eternity. We need to be grateful and thankful for Jesus and respond to Jesus in love. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn, "My Jesus, I Love Thee," but I don't want you to sing the words. I don't want you to sing the words. I want you to allow your whole being to cry out those words to God. To sing to God of your deep love and your gratitude for all that God has accomplished in Jesus Christ. For doing all that needed to be done so that we might live now and forevermore. Amen? Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you that you do love us from now until eternity, and you've provided that way. God, as much as you have loved us, help us to love on you now. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts to know you, to love you, as we sing this hymn. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.